Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Good morning. Welcome in, everybody. This is the Coast to Coast podcast, but like it's been for the past 6 weeks or so since Nick had his baby boy, this is just the One Coast podcast so far. Nick's in Seattle. I live in Atlanta. We call it Coast to Coast because we've got you covered from Seattle to Atlanta. It's about as far as you can get until you go down to Miami in the football landscape of things. But it's just me today. We're going to go solo, so it's me and you. And I see a lot of you in here already, so I appreciate you being here this morning with me on a beautiful Friday morning in the Southeast. And hopefully it's where it's nice, wherever you might be as well. We go live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on my channels, youtube.com/ScottKennedy or facebook.com/ScottKennedySports, because we like to have the conversation. I like to know what you guys are talking about. What are you thinking about? So I want to say hello to some folks that have come in here nice and early this morning, like Jeremy Sean. Jeremy's a regular on all our shows, and we certainly appreciate the conversation he brings and the steadiness and the logic and points of he keeps things level in the chat. It's not always easy to do these days in a binary world of it's either this or that. It's never anything in between. So Jeremy, thank you. He says, morning, boys. Here's hoping all the quarterback needy teams at the top of the draft find their quarterback in free agency. Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to happen. We'll get into the quarterback carousel here and some of the things that have happened, especially the first, I titled the show, It Continues is the First Domino Ready to Fall. Right now, it looks like the first domino that's ready to fall, other than the draft guys, might be Russell Wilson. And then we'll see how that plays on down the line. So we'll talk about that here shortly. John Harrell, want to thank you again for your donations to this show and for the support that you show us. He's in here. He says, good morning, fellas. Happy Friday. Greg Thomas is here on YouTube. He says, morning, fellas. Good morning to you. He's offering up a little coffee emoji. I'll drink to that. Mike Balls has a good question. He says, good morning, Scott. Good morning back to you, Mike. He says, thoughts on Daniel Jeremiah saying he's heard the Falcons are looking to go young at quarterback. I believe it. We said kind of for the get-go, Arthur Smith, the best quarterback probably for him would have been Kirk Cousins because he would have had to win today. He would have had to win this year to save his job. Too late for that. Raheem Morris has a little bit more of a leash. He's probably got 3 years on his own. I want a quarterback that I can grow with, but that is also good enough that I can take advantage of this roster and take a step from 7-10 to 9 wins to 10 wins possibly, and what is not a gauntlet of an NFC South. So, Mike, I think that makes a lot of sense. It's what we've been talking about. You know, that said, I've also said that as far as the passing game and the three wides, Kirk Cousins also makes a lot of sense to the Atlanta Falcons. But, yes, I like the idea of going younger. I can get behind Kirk Cousins, and I just was in a discussion for a moment on Twix, and you guys hear me talk about this before, the binary nature of the conversations. You know, I don't want Justin Fields, he's trash. Or, you know, if you were ready to hang it up on Desmond Ridder, why do you think Justin Fields, he sucks, he's great. You can think Justin Fields is an improvement on what the Falcons had and still be really concerned and not want to spend too much to acquire a guy like Justin Fields. Second round pick, somewhere in there. That's not too much to try and get you take a swing on a 25-year-old quarterback and still have concerns. Sure. Yeah. I can think that Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback and still have concerns about his age, his injury, his salary. I can like Bo Nix, the things he does well, and still have concerns about his overall arm talent. I can like Michael Penix and still have concerns about his injury history. All those things can be true. So we try and keep it a little level here, somewhere in between the coast-to-coast level-headed podcast. Yeah, I'm not always level-headed, though. Y'all have seen me get fired up every so often. Oblivion Empire says, good morning, guys. Hope you're having a great morning this Friday. To the host and fans of the podcast, it's going to be a great one like always. Well, got a lot to live up to now, Oblivion Empire. Appreciate the support you show on Twix and here as well. Roderick here is from across the pond, so he's over in the UK. Says, hey, Scott, ready and waiting. Watched some old games last night. Tuggle really was a fine player. Jesse Tuggle's my all-time favorite Atlanta Falcon, and it's not close. So I've said this in smaller extents about Cordarrelle Patterson, okay? This isn't always an easy franchise to embrace and play with a smile on your face and play hard. It was especially hard for a guy like Jesse Tuggle, who did it. I'm not exactly sure when he came in. Probably he played a long time. So I want to say 90, maybe somewhere in that neighborhood. He played all through the 90s. You know, if you played hard through the 80s and you played through the 90s and the crap show that was the Rankin Smith Atlanta Falcons franchise, and you did it for as long as he did, for as hard as he did, and was just one of the more underappreciated players in the NFL. Grady Jarrett, I think, is getting some of that as well because the Falcons have dipped off again during his prime. But Jesse Tuggle was an amazing football player. Came, I think he was a walk-on at Valdosta State, undrafted free agent, if I'm not mistaken. You know, 5'10", overlooked. Guy should be in the Hall of Fame as far as I'm concerned. Jesse Tuggle is he's my all-time favorite. Who's Mr. Falcon to me? Jesse Tuggle is Mr. Falcon to me. Red Swarm, good morning, everyone. Wishing you a fantastic Friday. To you as well, Red Swarm. It's good to see you. I'm going to bring up my Facebook pages here. I want to keep an eye on some of the comments here in case some stuff comes in. Because guys like Eddie come in and throw some stars down, and I don't see it unless I look over here on this other screen. So I want to say thank you to Eddie Fujioka, hopefully I got that somewhat close, coming in with some stars, and he says, he's got a comment in there too, I want to make sure I hit that one. He says, what do you think will happen if there's no impact on quarterback one, and Ridder is it for 2024? Oh, that's a good question, Eddie. We're talking Atlanta Falcons here. If the Atlanta Falcons swing big on quarterback and bring somebody in, and Ridder has an exponential leap from year two to year three under the tutelage of Zach Robinson, bring in another wide receiver weapon, familiarity, comfort level, whatever happens that makes him elevate his game, and he beats out whoever they bring in, I'm okay with it. So be it. Falcons fans, you don't really care who plays well at quarterback. You just want play well at quarterback. He comes in and throws for 30 touchdowns against 10 turnovers, you're happy. 3,500 yards, probably rush for half a dozen scores, you're happy. I don't see that leap, and I don't think the Atlanta Falcons brass does either. So the problem you're going to have with he ends up being quarterback one is if you don't swing on a guy, if you don't bring in somebody else, if you bring in competition and he wins the competition outright, so be it. So be it. Open competition. Now, I'm not 100% sure if they bring somebody in that Ritter stays in Atlanta. You try and dump him with a pick swap. There's really no dead cap there. Not much of a salary. In Madden, it makes sense, but in the personalities and the cliques that have already formed, and you don't want Team Ritter and you got done dirty or anything like this. And it doesn't typically happen like that with the professionalism in sports, but you're still dealing with human beings here. I don't know that I want to come in as a young, if they go young with a young quarterback, taking the job of the old quarterback who knows these guys for the last 2 years, that can be a tough situation. But if you bring a guy in, you bring in Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, and Desmond Ritter still on the job, and he beats him out, so be it, man. But I think the problem you have is if by default, because you couldn't get anybody and Ritter's your quarterback, you got problems. I see absolutely no way that happens. No way. I think you come in with a guy like Gardner Minshew if you have to, and you pay him too much money. I see absolutely no way that you don't bring in, at least on paper, what is an upgrade at the quarterback position. If Ritter was still there and beats him out, so be it. You know, so be it. Want to keep scrolling down here a little bit. Silas Straven's here. He says, good morning, everyone. String Guy, good morning. All good to see you, String Guy. Chase Weldner's over here. Says, morning, Scott. I'm stuck at home sick, so I appreciate the pod. I'm sorry to hear that, man. Hope you're feeling better. It's no fun, absolutely no fun being sick. But as I said last night, one of the good things about being sick is when you feel better, you end up feeling like 150. You're not 100%. You're like 150%. You're like, man, I didn't know I could feel this good. That's kind of how I felt yesterday after finally getting over that shingles vaccine. God, those things are awful. I got a red streak down my arm from that damn thing. Michael W., morning all. The wait and speculation continues. Let's get into this here for just a second. Just see what y'all's thoughts on this is. The betting odds for one way or another, it's not a surefire way of predicting, obviously, but the betting odds for Russell Wilson to the Pittsburgh Steelers changed dramatically. It went to minus 250 on Russell Wilson to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, what does that mean? That means it's almost a 3-1 that he goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So if I wanted to win $100, I would have to bet $250. So those odds that are now, I think it was at FanDuel, DraftKings, I don't know who it was. I saw it on Bleacher Report, so shout out to them, was -250. The next team was +650. So if I said, I'm betting on Russell Wilson to the Atlanta Falcons, I could put down $100 and I would win $650. That's the number two team. The number one team, I would have to pay $250, and if I won, I'd get $350. I'd win $100 profit. That is a huge discrepancy. That is a huge delta. That's basically calling your shot. I'm not there yet as far as what's happening, but what does that mean? What does it mean for the Denver Broncos? It means the Denver Broncos, their best option will be to work the salary cap in a way that they eat almost $60 million of dead cap this year when they cut him. It's like $57 million this year. They can do that with some contract changes without really even losing anybody other than Russell Wilson and not re-signing Lloyd Cushenberry. They can do it. We've done a lot of the cap metrics on all the Broncos shows we do. They eat a bunch of that this year in 2024, almost $57 million. And then the next year, the dead cap hit for 2025 would, I say, only be like $32 million. Now, why is that important? Because his cap hit right now on the books, Russell Wilson's cap hit for 2025 is $55 million. Denver Broncos fans like to talk about, Russell Wilson's contract is killing us. No, it isn't. It hasn't really even started yet. His cap number in the first 2 years for the Denver Broncos has been greatly reduced. His big giant cap hit starts really in 2025. Now, when you're changing things around, your dead cap hit is going to be the big hit in 2024. But in 2025, you actually have about $23 million of extra money than if you had Russell Wilson on your team. That's why they're going to do this. And no, you're not going to make a trade. He's not going to trade. You're going to have to cut him. And then he'll just sign as a free agent for almost zero money. And right now the bettors say Pittsburgh Steelers. Another report I read said that Justin Fields and the Pittsburgh Steelers ain't happening. No way, no how. Now that, again, here's the dominoes. So we're sending Russell Wilson over to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's not a bad move. That's not quite Aaron Rodgers to Zach Wilson, but giving Kenny Pickett a little bit more time and Russell Wilson to come in, Russell Wilson is an upgrade on Kenny Pickett, in my opinion. Could be wrong, but that's how I feel. And now you've got Russell Wilson and Kenny Pickett. I think your floor got higher at the quarterback position for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that's a good move. Cost you what, $2 million? What is that? How does that affect everybody else? Now what happens with Justin Fields? The quarterback carousel. I still think quarterbacks go 1-2-3, at worst 1-2-4. Chicago Bears go Caleb Williams or Drake May, probably Caleb Williams. Commanders, they go Drake May. 3, New England Patriots. I still see them taking the third quarterback there. Could be different. And if, again, as Jeremy's opened us up with, if it changes with Kirk Cousins, let's say the New England Patriots say, we've got a really good defense. I can take Marvin Harrison Jr. at 3, and I can sign Kirk Cousins for $40 million this year. I've got I can do that. Kirk Cousins and Marvin Harrison jump starts my team. We're playoff contenders right away. Maybe. I'd just as soon take the quarterback at 3. So we'll see. What does that do with Chicago Bears and Justin Fields? The Atlanta Falcons are still a really good option there. You send them a second-round pick, probably, at most, I think, is what you're willing to spend there. Maybe a second and a pick swap or a second and a fifth, something on down the line. But as far as day one, day two picks, I think you're looking at just a second-round pick. That's a pretty low-risk option for a 25-year-old quarterback. And going back to the original comment, came in from, where did it come in from? It was from Mike saying, what do you think about them looking to go young at quarterback? Justin Fields still fits the bill. He's 25 years old. He is 1 year older than the likes of Bo Nix, Michael Penix, and he's like 18 months older than Jaden Daniels. So he is young. That still fits the bill. Now, one of the questions I have for detractors on this is, remember where he is, and okay, there is more of a sample size. In the NFL, we don't think he can make it. Okay, where would he be if he had stayed at Ohio State and been playing there for the last 3 years, or even better, what if he had been at Washington, at Oregon, out in the Pac-12? He'd be putting up pinball numbers the last couple of years. And with his tools, I think he'd be seen as a pretty good shot as a number one overall. People would be salivating over Justin Fields. Now, unfortunately, he's looked at a little bit as damaged goods. And that's why you can get him for a second round pick. That, and you've only got 2 years of cost control. 1 year for sure, 2 if you want it. So that's where I go. That's the next domino. The next big domino to fall has got to be Kirk Cousins. It has to be, because if Kirk Cousins changes, you've got two teams looking for teams. The team that signs Kirk Cousins, and then the Minnesota Vikings are open. So you got, it changes the fact, because the Minnesota Vikings are sitting there at 11. It puts them in play for J.J. McCarthy for trying to move up. If you're 12, Denver Broncos, they absolutely want to get a quarterback. So depending on the two teams that they're really watching, two of the teams, and there's sneaky needs in there too. Two of the teams they're really watching are the Atlanta Falcons at 8, and at 11, the Minnesota Vikings. If the Denver Broncos decide they are absolutely in love with J.J. McCarthy, the only way that they're going to get him for sure is if they can get ahead of the Falcons. And if they want to do that, they better pray the Atlanta Falcons really don't want to take that quarterback at 8, because they're going to be tough to get in front of. Hope you're feeling better, Chase. We hit on Michael. Good to see you, Michael. Brad Clark says, good day, Falcons family. Thanks for all your hard work, Scott, to give us some good content. Appreciate it. Brad, I'm glad you appreciate. Angel, is that how it would that be a better way to say it? I don't want to try and butcher. I'm trying to help my daughter with her Spanish stuff. Silly American like me would call you Angel, but do people call you Angel? Roca, it's a Broncos country. Let's fight. Good to see you. Dave, good morning. Eric Parash says, I assume we were watching this from a camera and a chase plane. Okay. I'm not. I'm at home. I can change the background if you want. I'm on my green screen with my blinding lights and shining off my forehead in here. Lance Render, good to see you. He says, good morning, everyone. I hope you're all ready for the signing of Cousins or Wilson and then the drafting of J.J. McCarthy. By all accounts, Fields won't fit the scheme. And Lance, I'm guessing you're a Falcons fan on this one. Again, I think the scheme is going to be flexible. You know, if you think, hey, I like the tools that Justin Fields has, I can cater my plays and my offense to the things that he does well. You know, I don't think the Falcons can come out and be an air raid offense right now. They're not going to go four wide. They only got one wide receiver. So I think you're going to cater to the strengths of what this team still is right now, which is play action, bootlegs, RPOs, and figuring out ways to do that. I think Zach Robinson's a smart enough quarterback coach, passing game coordinator in order to tailor his play calls, because I'm not going to say scheme, because schemes are flexible anyway. His play calling to the personnel that he's got at his disposal. You're not going to drop back and watch a June Jones four wide run and shoot right now. So I think it's okay. I'm not out on Fields to Atlanta by any stretch of the imagination, but we'll see. We'll absolutely see. It's going to be fascinating. And I think we'll have a pretty good, we got about two more months of this. Unless the Falcons do something before the draft here soon, or somebody else does, then we'll know Fields is off the table. Atlanta Dog 88 says, good morning, Falcon family. Good morning to you. JM, good morning, says, everyone's praising the Falcons we have and young and talented roster. Before long, they'll be wanting contract extensions. Might as well go big on the quarterback now while the roster is cheap. Yeah, there's a lot of money put into the offensive line. That's really where your money is. Quarterback, nothing. Tight end, your most expensive skill guy right now, Jonnu Smith. Think about that. Your most expensive offensive skill player is Jonnu Smith by some distance. Unless Kyle Pitts, let me look that up. Unless Kyle Pitts' fourth year has accelerated from the number four pick, his has. So he's up to his cap hit this year is up to 10. So it has gone up. His cap hit, yeah, it has gone up to 10. Cap hit, $9 million for 2023, 2024 is 10-4. So it has accelerated because he was a number four overall pick. His fifth-year option is right in that neighborhood too. So that's the thing about it. His fifth-year option for a tight end, and I've gotten into this and I think how unfair it is, for the number four overall pick, that they'll have to exercise. His fifth-year option is the same. It's 10-5. So, you know, this is one of the reasons why we talked about why you don't take a tight end this high is because you get zero savings on the contract, zero. In fact, his fifth-year option at 10.56 is, where was I here, for Kyle Pitts, $100,000 more than the fourth year of his deal, his rookie contract. You always hear about cost-controlled rookie contracts. There was no cost control rookie contract on a tight end. It's exactly the same as a fifth year option. So, but yeah, he's up to 10-5, which is still, if you can turn him into the weapon he was drafted to be, is still cheap. And that's why you absolutely pick up his fifth year option, because relatively speaking, speaking of young guys, I think he's 23. And he'll turn 24 this year, is really cheap. So let me see on that. He's 23, and he is 6 months younger than Bo Nix. How about that? When we start talking about, he's 6 months younger than the Michael Penix. When we start talking about these guys in the draft and start talking about their potential, what you could get for them, he's 6 months younger than a lot of these guys in the draft that came through the COVID years that are coming out at 24 years old. That's insane. He's 3 months older than Jaden Daniels. That's why you gambled on Kyle Pitts and why you're not ready to give up on him for $10 million. Let me see here. John Harrell, I like what you have to say here. The no-brainer is Russell Wilson and then a developmental guy like Joe Milton. I'm okay with, if you're talking, you know, this fits teams like the Vikings. This fits teams it would fit like the Broncos, but unfortunately that ship has sailed. To go get a quarterback behind Russell Wilson, you sign him. Because again, he'll be dirt cheap. The Broncos are paying his salary. He gets $37 million guaranteed from the Broncos this season, no matter what. They're paying his salary this year. Any money you go that the new team pays him goes to offset his salary with the Broncos. So his compensation is fixed at what the Broncos are paying him. So he has no incentive to try and get paid. I want to be paid more because, hey, who doesn't? His compensation is already fixed for 2024. So it's a cheap option. And then get a developmental guy coming in. Give me Russell Wilson and a day two, day three quarterback with tools. I could live with that. But I don't think it prohibits you from still taking your quarterback at 8, at 11, if you were to sign Russell Wilson too. So, and Randy talking about Mr. Falcon, he says, Tuggle was good, no doubt, but Tommy Novus will always be Mr. Falcon. And Randy, you probably have one generation of players ahead of me. I moved to Atlanta when I was 5 years old. That was 78. So I didn't really get to see Tommy Novus. So my Mr. Falcon is Jesse Tuggle. You know, the running backs were really the stars of the show, unless you want to talk about Mike Ken, Bill Frelick in the 80s, you know, and they just weren't around nearly as long with William Andrews and Gerald Riggs. Yeah, and Atlanta Dogs talking about, you know, Jordan Travis, Spencer Rattler, Joe Milton, some of the toolsy guys like that. Let me see here. Jeremy Sean says, if you're signing Cousins, then he's getting a good contract that would take quarterback off the table for a couple of seasons. Yeah, with Cousins, again, I kind of use the New York Jets as an example with Cousins. If you sign Cousins and he's 36 years old, and this goes for any of these teams, you don't go Cousins and with your first round pick. You go Cousins, you go Russ and McCarthy, Russ and Nix, Russ and Michael Penix, Russ and Joe Milton. You don't go Russ, you don't go Kirk and with your first round pick, because you've got a window of 2 years at most with Kirk Cousins. I need to try and surround him with as many good players as possible. Build the team up around him, because with a 36-year-old quarterback, your window is small. Your time frame is short. I need to take advantage of that now. I go best prospect available at a premium position that isn't quarterback. So if I sign Kirk Cousins and I'm drafting at 8, quarterback is off the board for me. Now I'm looking at edge rusher, wide receiver, cornerback. Those three positions will probably fall into what I'm looking for at number 8 relative to this draft. I could go offensive tackle. It's a deep draft, but that's probably where I wouldn't want to go. That said, I have talked about the problems with Caleb McGarry at right tackle in a passing-oriented scheme. Maybe you do want to go right tackle. So, but it would be best prospect available non-quarterback for any team that dumps 2 years, $90 million guaranteed into Kirk Cousins for sure. Want to ban this guy who's talking about being a millionaire in my... I can't hide it because I'm on the wrong one. So we'll just hide. I've got two Facebook groups open. So I have one of them that I have admin access to, and one of them I'm just monitoring. Apologies for that while I'm thinking about this real quick. Try and ignore that. Actually, but I can't ignore it. I can't ban them from here, from StreamYard. So let me try and do that. Apologies. The spammers find you. Quarterback carousel, want to keep talking about this a little bit. Again, I think tiers of guys that you're interested in, of the available quarterbacks that aren't in the draft, I would say number one, Kirk Cousins. Number two would probably be Russell Wilson because of the cost involved. And maybe Russell Wilson would be number one. If I can get Russell Wilson for $2 million or Kirk Cousins for $40 million, what am I doing? Russell Wilson could be option 1A. In this case, I think Justin Fields, honestly, because of the upside, would be 3. Then we start talking guys like Baker Mayfield, who I think the best option for him is still probably in Tampa. Gardner Minshew's out there. You know, you want Jimmy G. These are the guys you start talking about. I'm sure I'm forgetting about somebody that's available in there, but those are the guys that come to the top of my mind. Dave says, I keep coming back to J.J. McCarthy after all I've researched. Dave, I think after the top 3, if you're looking for quarterback, J.J. McCarthy becomes the best young option. 21 years old, best draft pick option, really good tools. The lack of throws at Michigan is overblown for a couple reasons. One, he had plenty of throws in times that it mattered. He sat a lot of second halves, not a lot of second halves, but they were running the ball. They were ahead all the time. He was on a dominant team and they won. You know, when did that become a problem? He's played in closer to a pro style offense than most of these guys. He's taken more snaps under center than all of these guys. And as far as the arm talent goes, it's as good as anybody, if not better than everybody, that it's also available. And he's athletic as hell. What's the problem? He didn't throw the ball 40 times a game. All right. So I like J.J. McCarthy. All these guys, once you get past the first three where you're pretty happy, there's detractors about every move that's ever made. But I think 1, 2, and 3, whoever drafts Jaden Daniels, the majority is going to be pretty happy. Whoever drafts Caleb Williams, whoever drafts Drake May, the majority is going to be pretty happy. We're excited because you're not going to have to give up much to get them. Just your pick. So there's not that extra cost. We shouldn't have made that trade. We shouldn't have done that. That's not involved. That's not a factor. Once you get past those guys, there's red flags on every single quarterback. So the line between we're really happy to we're really not happy and the binary discussions that happen on Twix and social media are going to be more prevalent as soon as you get past those first three quarterbacks. So it's there on everybody. I recognize the concerns, but know, yeah, you have to get a quarterback. You have to take somebody. I don't want that guy. I don't want that guy. I don't want that guy. Okay, well, you got Desmond Ridder then. Okay. I don't want that guy. I don't want that guy. Okay, well, you got Jared Stidham then. Fine. If you're okay with that, so be it. Las Vegas Raiders. I don't want to move up and get this guy. Okay, are you good with Aiden O'Connell? Yeah, okay. Well, that's fine too. Some people aren't going to be. There's going to be half the fans out there that are saying no. 888 Dr. Pepper says several talking heads have said that Cousins wants a multiple-year contract. Definitely not a one-year trial. That will make him too expensive for a trial. Injuries and age, I don't like it. And 888 Dr. Pepper, I think at best what you do is I think anything over, I'm going to say $55 million guaranteed is a two-year deal. Anything under 55 is still a one-year deal. So 888, you're going to see, when Kirk Cousins signs, you're going to see 3 years, $150 million. 3 years, $150. That's going to be the big headlines. Ignore them and look for the guaranteed money and divide and then take a look at how many years the contract is. If it's a $60 million contract, it's probably a guaranteed. $150 million with 60 guaranteed, that comes closer to a two-year deal. Anything under that, it's a one-year deal because you can move on from him for nothing, for $10 to $15 million in the second year on a dead cap charge. It's a one-year deal. So unless you're talking $75, $80 million of guaranteed money, that becomes a two-year deal. But if you hear $150 million contract across 3 years, oh, but it's $50 million guaranteed. It's a one-year deal. So he'll get a multiple-year contract, I promise you, for salary cap reasons. The only number that's going to matter is that guaranteed money. Is somebody willing to go out there and give him $90 million guaranteed? If he can, more power to you. But wants doesn't get. Doesn't matter what he wants. Matters what he's willing to get. I love that. I'm going to grab it as a gift because I think about it all the time when this comment comes up. This is what he wants. You remember in Dark Knight Rises when Selena Kyle comes in, she's just like, I want this. And the guy goes, want. Doesn't get. I always think that. Of course, then he got his neck snapped. But hey, that's what it's like in the negotiations, right? Leon Mapstone, good morning. Good to see you here. Jeremy Sean, he's calling his shot. He says, maybe I'm off or biased, but I think that Peyton will land on Knicks, especially if the cost of moving up is too expensive. Here's the thing is, can you get Knicks in the second? Are you willing to risk that? This was a discussion that I had with Mile High Huddle podcast last night of how far do you need to go down your board before it becomes a reach? If you've got Knicks at 20, I don't think that 12 is a reach. I don't think that's too much. If I've got him at 35, then 12 is probably a reach. Problem the Broncos have is they don't have a second round pick. Okay, I don't mind packaging together a couple of day two picks to move back up into I'll send you a third and a 2025 second to get your second now. To get my quarterback, yeah, I'm okay with that. So, Jeremy, the talk about this is Knicks is almost universally being considered at best late first right now. The talk of him going as high as 12 has almost disappeared. We'll see. We will see on that. I'm not convinced yet because I know how quarterback crazy people are. There is a new mock draft from Gennaro Felice. It's a newer name to me. He says deputy editor of content at NFL.com, where he's got the Denver Broncos trading down from 12. And I hate it when they do trades and don't tell you what you get back. That bothers me. But he's got him trading with the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Bengals at 12 take Talese Fuaga, the offensive lineman they crave. And they trade down to 18 and say, and then they take Latu at 18. And here's the thing that's interesting to me about the perception of where Bo Nix and Michael Penix are. Moving down six slots in this stipulation, in this simulation, Denver needs additional draft currency. Thank you for not saying capital, the most over-freaking-used words in the world right now. You can just say Denver nets additional draft picks that could be used to select a quarterback like Bo Nix or Michael Penix on day two. If I'm going down for 12 to 18, I'm getting at least a second round back. At least. Probably a second rounder and change in a day, a couple, either another late day two or day three. So moving back six spots, I get up into the second round, and I should get more out of it for six spots back in the first round. So the thought process here for Bo Nix is almost, I can definitely trade down. Not too far, but that's a big gamble. Because I agree with you. I think he fits pretty well in with Sean Payton and what he's looking for in a quarterback. And if you like him, you got to take him at 12. We'll see how much they really like him. Want to get to some of our comments here. Jason Heller with the support for the show. Good to see you, Jason. Thanks for coming in with a super sticker coming in red. Appreciate the support. And Jason B coming in. He says, Justin Fields will be an Atlanta Falcon by end of next week. I think that's too soon. I'm not saying I would take the over on that, Jason. I don't know that I'd bet against you. I'd probably take the field because acquiring a guy is risky. I think the Chicago Bears have no reason to rush. Their deadline for this really is when they're on the clock on, what is it, Thursday, April 20-whatever-th at 8 o'clock at night. That's their deadline. I don't think there's any real reason unless there's, okay, we miss out on this guy in free agency and teams start getting desperate. I don't know. But I think the deadline for Justin Fields is when the clock starts running on Chicago at pick one. So I'm not saying Justin Fields won't be an Atlanta Falcon. I can absolutely see it happening. I don't see it happening in a week. I don't think there's incentive for them to move that fast. How would you feel about Justin Fields in Atlanta? It's polarizing. It is. And again, I think any pick, any quarterback the Atlanta Falcons get is going to be polarizing because they're not going to get Drake May. They're not going to get Caleb Williams. And hell, Caleb Williams is polarizing right now with the smear campaign that's been going on against him the last year. And Jaden Daniels, the shiny new toy. This is the first time I've read anything from Mr. Felice, but I like him. Because he says Drake May at number two to the Commanders. In the moment, it feels like Jaden Daniels is gaining steam in some draftnik circles, but I still suspect this is at least partially because the reigning Heisman Trophy winner is the shiny new object after his big season, and Drake May is kind of old hat, which is funny given that he's actually 2 years younger than Jaden Daniels. I think it is kind of funny. I think he's got a hell of a point. I like this guy. I do. So Jason B., Justin Fields to the Atlanta Falcons. I can see that. I don't think it happens in the next week. I think you're still looking middle of April at the soonest. So 3 weeks, draft week, we will see. We will see. Of course, you know, like they say, a lot of Nick would come in here. Let me push back on that a little bit. A lot of this stuff happens at the combine. Okay. So we'll see. And that might be what you're thinking too, because the combine starts next Thursday. And we'll start talking about winners and losers from the combine. Hopefully, I don't remember the schedule. Hopefully, they start doing some of the testing on Thursday, and we've got something to talk about on that on Friday. Jeremy says, so the Bears will be in the same position as they are now in a few years with Caleb. If Caleb doesn't work out, they will be, and they're hoping they're not picking again in number one overall. And they're not number one overall. They're number nine overall. But if they're hoping they don't stink, they've been really intriguing for the last couple of years because they've had high picks and a quarterback that still is seen with some upside. Those are two good things when you're in the offseason. Zach Wilson, this guy, or Trey Lance, this guy, Caleb Williams should still be a valuable piece to a puzzle in 2 years at least. And they don't want to be picking in the top 10 again. So we will see. Sterling Wood says, if they don't get anyone in free agency, do you see the Falcons trading up in the draft at quarterback? I think that's what we're talking about. Do I see them doing that at quarterback? I think it's possible. I think if J.J. McCarthy is seen as a top 10 quarterback, I think several teams will try to get to 6 or 7 to get ahead of the Falcons to take him. If that becomes the fact, that starts happening, and the Atlanta Falcons want a quarterback, the Atlanta Falcons become a better trade option for the New York Giants at 6, for the Tennessee Titans at 7, because those two teams would only have to move back to 8. So yes, I can see them doing that. If for some reason one of those guys falls, let's say Marvin Harrison, as we talked about, if the New England Patriots, they say, we signed Kirk Cousins for a bunch of money. We're not drafting a quarterback behind him then. We're trying to open up our window and get back into the playoffs right away. They're taking Marvin Harrison Jr. at 3. That takes the third quarterback and puts him in play. Then things get freaking interesting. We want draft to get interesting early. If we really want it to see some blockbuster deals, have the Patriots take Marvin Harrison Jr. And then we will see freaking fireworks with the Arizona Cardinals. And if the Cardinals say, no, we want a wide receiver too, we're gonna take here, we're not gonna move, the freaking Chargers will move. So that will be really, really interesting. Let me get rid of this spammer in here. Let me go away. Thanks. It's not Valentine's Day, Melanie. Goodbye. With all the hearts and love. Oh, there was a question here. I don't remember who it was. Apologies. It's one of our regulars too. What do you think about the Calvin Ridley talk to Atlanta? Just ignore it. Ignore it. Calvin Ridley, I think I put out there, and this will probably mean it'll happen because I hate talking in absolutes. I'll play wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons again before Arthur Blank has him back to play for the Atlanta Falcons. Just no way. There's just no way Calvin Ridley comes back to the Atlanta Falcons. So therefore, let it be said. I hate speaking in absolutes. I think I did the last time I ever did that. I was covering recruiting. I don't even remember his name. He was a big athlete up like Cartersville area. It may have been Cartersville. And he was being recruited by Georgia Tech. And I said, Georgia Tech is not going to take this guy because his grades are a concern. He's not projected to qualify. They will not go after him. Well, they signed him. And he's the only non-qualifier they've had in 25 years. So there you go. That's what happens when I start. That's what happens when I bet my own money too, is things start going crazy like that. Rio Deshaun Alexander Smith. What it do, Scott? Good to see you, man. That is an interesting picture. Congratulations, I think, are in order with the sonogram there. It looks great. Truth over emotions. He says, Bo Nix fell off, huh? No. Maybe not. He might be still on the rise. Where was Bo Nix 2 years ago? Undrafted free agent, 7th round. He's risen up to second round status if that's where he is. I think some of the talk was based on, I think he's settling in about to where he belongs, and he could still be, I think it'd be a little bit of a reach in the top half of the first round, but we will see. We will see. Marquise says, glad you didn't take this Friday off. There's too much going on at the quarterback position. I don't want to turn this into a quarterback carousel show every Friday, but we might. Hope we'll have combine next week, and we'll have combine winners and losers the week after that for sure. As we do some, we'll definitely do more mock drafts as coming out of the combine. That's when they start becoming really, really fun. Keith, I've hit on this before. He says, do you think if the Falcons signed Cousins, they'd be okay with him drafting a quarterback at 8? One, it's not necessarily up to him, but two, any team that signs Kirk Cousins, your window is short. You're looking at a two-year window with a 36-year-old quarterback. Any team that signs Kirk Cousins is trying to build the team around him as best they can, and you don't do that with a backup quarterback. See Rodgers / Aaron. You know, what happened with him? It's like, dude, we're going for a Super Bowl. You know, y'all are taking Jordan Love with a first-round pick. I'm pissed. Trade him to the New York Jets. The New York Jets need a quarterback of the future. They also have probably 1 year of Aaron Rodgers, maybe two. Let's just say one. They gave up a lot to get him. They're paying him a lot of money. They're not going to go quarterback. They're going to take their shot. So that's kind of the parallel I use here, is Jets and Aaron Rodgers are going to take their shot while they can with any team that signs Kirk Cousins. Now, you may take a guy day two, day three, but you're not going to use a first. You're not going to sign Kirk Cousins and use your first round pick on a quarterback. Just not going to happen. In my opinion, we'll see if that opinion turns out to be fact. That prediction turns out to be fact. I feel good about that one, though. Austin Fry says, I see Jonnu Smith getting cut along with Taylor Heinicke. I kind of see that too. At least restructured. You might get him an extension. You talk about Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith played pretty well. Why can't I find him on here? Jonnu Smith, there he is. Jonnu Smith is 28 years old. He is a free agent after this year. He's got a $9 million cap hit. It's too high. His base salary is $6.5 million. So you pay him, you give him a one-year extension, a two-year deal. You pay him a $6.5 million signing bonus right now. You give him a $1 million salary. That takes his cap hit from 9 to 4.5 and means I can move on from him next year with a dead cap of 3. That makes more sense to me. I like Jonnu Smith. I like Jonnu Smith at $4 million. I think an extension, a one-year extension, cutting his salary cap in half makes sense. Taylor Heinicke, he might be the pro you need if you feel like Desmond Ridder. I don't want the divisiveness in the locker room. And I'm not saying he's a divisive. I'm saying that it's a divisive situation when you've got last year's starter still there and you got a new coach, a new quarterback, a new everything, and old relationships. Taylor Heinicke came in as a backup. You might do the same thing and extend him and cut his cap number in half, because his number right now, Heinicke's is lower. His quarterback on this. His cap number is 8.5 on a $2 million dead. He's due a $5 million base salary. I might pay him a $5 million signing bonus with a $1 million salary. He gets $6 million in cash and gets a, you know, it cuts his salary, his cap hit from 8.5 to, what's the number I did on that? 4? Again, it cuts it in half to $3.5 million. From $8 to $3.5 million, and you still have a decent backup with a $2 million dead cap next year, which is what it is this year too. So yeah, I Austin, I think you'd be okay with extensions, but they are cut candidates. I would probably extend Jonnu Smith. I like what he's doing. Let's see here. There's a guy I can ban, as now I've come back to him as a millionaire. Yeah, you're not a millionaire, dude. Let me check on this chat over here. I'm going to scroll down to the bottom because I'm still at 9:30 in the chat. It takes a while to get back down here. Pakdi Soom, good to see you. Says, good morning, Scott. Hopefully I didn't butcher your name too well. Victor asks, have you looked ahead to next year's quarterback class? From what I understand, it's not nearly as good as this year's. this is a good class overall. And there's four that will go in the first round. That doesn't happen very often. Next year, I think right now, if J.J. McCarthy was in, had gone back to Michigan, he'd be the odds-on favorite to be the number one quarterback in the class. So that makes him more valuable at 21 years old too, knowing, listen, I need a quarterback and it's not going to be good. Now, I always kind of poo-poo the, just, let's just wait and see before we make a decision on the class. That said, I think the advanced scouting is getting good enough. I mean, how the Ritter class, you know, the best quarterback out of that was Mr. Irrelevant by far. You know, Kenny Pickett, I wouldn't have wanted Kenny Pickett number one. And then another quarterback didn't even go in the second round. And if you try and build a team by banking on taking a quarterback in the seventh round, you're going to be picking in the top 10 for a long time. That's a good system. That's a really good team. That's getting lucky. If you had any idea that Brock Purdy was going to be who Brock Purdy is, there's no freaking way he lasts to the seventh round. Kevin comes in. I'm all for Russell Wilson. I love the potential price tag. You can't beat that for a stopgap quarterback. There you go. And a mentor for whichever young guy the Atlanta Falcons draft or wherever Russell Wilson goes. Because right now, the odds-on favorite, the first domino to fall, and that's why his picture's in here. The odds-on favorite, let me recap from the beginning of the show, is Russell Wilson to the Steelers. The betting numbers have gone skewed way, way towards the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's minus 250. That's almost 3-1 that it actually happens. If I want to make a bet on Russell Wilson going to the Pittsburgh Steelers, I have to put down $250 to win $100. The next team with the best odds of signing Russell Wilson on that chart were the Atlanta Falcons at plus 650. That means I can put down $100 and win $650. So it's 3-1 that he goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's 7-1 against him going to the Atlanta Falcons. And that's the next best odds. So that looks like the first domino to fall. Let me see here. Lance talking about keeping Jonnu Smith. I think they keep Jonnu Smith. I think he gets a contract extension. He's still just 28 years old. Really productive last year. Had a great season. I think he's got a chance to stick around. String Guy says, I think Cousins plays five more years, so the Atlanta Falcons will be playoffs for the next 5 years. I think, boy, if you give him any more than $90 million guaranteed, you're banking on him playing at least four more years, and then I can pick up. Because you'd sign him to a five-year deal with 100 plus million guaranteed, which ends up being a two-year deal at 50 million each. Because then you could cut him in year three, but you could keep him in year three based on the base salary then going wild. His base salary would go from 5 to 10 to 50 in the third year of his contract. Troy says Russell Wilson would be a great fit in Pittsburgh. I'm a fan of Russell Wilson as far as, you know, doing the Denver Broncos work that I've done, you know, watching the press conferences, the way his teammates have talked about him for the most part, I wish nothing but good things for him. I'm a big fan of Mike Tomlin, not as big a fan of Arthur Smith, but happy for some of the things that he did in Atlanta. It wasn't all bad. He's just kind of, I think he belongs in a coordinator position. So we'll see. As Jeremy says, Russ needs a defensive run-heavy team. That's the formula for success for Russ, hence Pittsburgh, and why it would have made sense in Atlanta, too. Put Russell Wilson in Atlanta in a play-action run-heavy scheme with an improving defense in last year, and Atlanta's in the playoffs. Atlanta's in the playoffs with Russell Wilson. And if you switch quarterbacks, if you switch quarterbacks with the Denver Broncos and Atlanta Falcons last year, the Denver Broncos have their quarterback of the future because they're drafting in the top three. The Falcons are probably making the playoffs. Now, that's not to say that that's how good Russell Wilson is. That's how bad Desmond Ridder is. But Russell Wilson helped win some close games for a team that was on the margins a lot. And after that 1-5 start, you've got Desmond Ridder the rest of the way, you're in deep trouble, deep trouble. The Falcons, with an historically easy schedule can win three more games with Russell Wilson there in the playoffs at 10-7 with even marginal quarterback play. FREF says all that goodwill is bringing Russell $85 million to not play a snap of football thanks to the Broncos. He's already been paid more than that. Why don't you just keep Russell Wilson for another year? One, because your cap hit in Denver Broncos goes from a $32 million dead cap hit to $55 million in 2025. If you're still on your roster, that's bad. And you have to pay him another $37 million cash payment in 2025. That's all bad. All of that is bad. They're going to have to cut him because he's not going to do you any favors after going to the NFLPA about, you know, and they agreed the way that was handled at the end of the season. The $85 million dead cap money is prorated bonuses that have already been paid to Russell Wilson that are on the last 5 years of that contract, and plus the $39 million, I think, that is guaranteed this year in salary for 2024, in guaranteed salary, no matter what. So he's only getting the 39 only. He's only getting $39 million more from the Denver Broncos if they cut him. If they don't cut him, he's already been paid about $100. He had $150 million guaranteed. If they don't cut him, he gets another $40 million. I'm rounding here. It's one of them's 39, one of them's 37. I get confused. So it's rough. And yes, that is a smack my head moment. It's a tough contract. It is. Red Swarm, appreciate you coming in here. He says, Scott, I just want to wish you and all my friends in the chat an enjoyable and happy weekend. Rise up. Thank you, Red Swarm. Hope you have a great football weekend too. And Jeremy Sean, I just missed you as it went up one. But Moss says, Wilson's agent is very astute. He got him a great deal for doing very little. And here's the thing, Moss. You don't blame Russell Wilson for taking the contract. And I don't think Russell Wilson, you know, for doing very little, I would say the production wasn't what you wanted it to be. But I don't think you can say Russell Wilson came in and just sat on that contract. You know, like, he's put in the work. He hasn't gone in and just been complacent. Okay, I got paid. I'm now coasting towards retirement. You know, if you're a soccer fan, you see that happen a lot. It's like, oh, I'm going to go to the MLS. It's a retirement league and I can play at half speed. I don't think that's happened. It just hasn't worked out. That's not Russell Wilson's fault. That's not the Denver Broncos' fault. But it's bad. It is bad. And as Jeremy Sean says, still not as bad as the Watson contract. Yeah, the $250 million fully guaranteed, you know, especially when it's really a 4.5-year deal because he was going to be sitting out half of that. I like the guaranteed contracts, frankly. I mean, every other sport has guaranteed contracts. Why not football? I like the guaranteed. The most dangerous sport in all of American sports has the least player security. I don't like that. But the money's there also. You know, we're talking about a $250 million salary cap. I think some sanity needs to come back to the position. Okay, let's say, oh, the 49ers got to the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. Maybe I don't need to put 25% of my resources into a quarterback, into one position. I think that's where it comes down to. For me, and see if there's a market correction in there. It doesn't seem like there's going to be. We'll find out with Dak Prescott because he's up next on the big deal that they keep saying, well, this is what he got. You know, someone is going to have to stand up and say, and that's the problem. That's why they have a salary cap. Owners can't control themselves. They have a salary cap because owners will not control their own spending. That's why. So they have to artificially restrict the open market, because it's not an open market, it's a monopoly. They have to artificially restrict what someone is willing to pay for services. I'm getting philosophical here. So on that note, owners, he'll find it somewhere. But And then they'd say collusion if they say, listen, I don't want to pay this quarterback $60 million. I want to invest in other areas of my team. So we'll see. We've gone about an hour already. So I certainly appreciate y'all hanging out with me this morning. We're at about 185 concurrent, which is great for a Friday. This show's starting to grow. And one of the reasons we wanted to do it is because Nick and I love doing draft and GM stuff. You know, it's the show's not quite as popular yet on Fridays during the season. I said, Nick, no one really cares about what we think about Dallas and Philadelphia. But by God, a lot of people are going to be interested in talking with us about draft, about free agency, about all that stuff. And now's the time. Sunshine and make hay. Want to say thank you very much to my Super Chat superstars, Eddie coming in early on Facebook, Jason B., and Jason Heller, thank you for the support of the show. Appreciate you coming in and helping me out today. Want to thank y'all for another great discussion in the chat. I think this is a fantastic community. If you're watching after the fact, and I know literally thousands of you will, say hey, have a comment. Keep it civil. And remember, there is no right answer when predicting the future. There is no right and wrong when predicting the future. Someone will eventually be right or wrong, but let's let them be right or wrong before we start, you know, making fun of them and being ugly. So Keith Robbins coming in late. Good to see you. Appreciate you being here. Troy Green, you are a superstar. That's for sure. So thank you so much. We're going to get out of here. I hope y'all have a fantastic football weekend. Baseball for me this afternoon, a little freshman baseball at Johns Creek. I can't wait. That's one of my, how do you like to spend your free time, Scott? That's how. So I get to do that today. Keep an eye on my YouTube and Facebook channels because I've finished logging all of my 11v11s on Senior Bowl. I'm starting to pop out 3 to 5 more highlight videos per day. So keep an eye on those. I took about a week-long break on that because I got cross-eyed looking at all that video for a while. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Nick should be joining us back here soon. The boy's getting bigger and stronger, and we love to hear it. Y'all have a fantastic football weekend. Come join us on Monday on these shows when we do Falcons podcast, we do Mile High Huddle, and we're talking draft and quarterbacks on those as well. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll see y'all later.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.